Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer in Boston. When it comes to reading proficiency, third grade is a critical benchmark. A growing body of research suggests that if students don't have strong reading skills by the time they finish third grade, they're likely to lag far behind for the rest of their time in school and even beyond. That makes the following number very worrisome. 37% of Massachusetts third graders read below grade level. Among children in low-income families, that number jumps to 57%. So state lawmakers recently introduced legislation aimed at making sure all Massachusetts children are proficient readers by the end of third grade. Rick Weisbord is a founder of the citywide literacy initiatives Read Boston and Write Boston. We spoke with him recently about that legislation, and he said developing reading skills starts with having conversations with kids at early ages.
You know, there are kids who enter kindergarten in the Boston Public Schools, a small fraction, who don't know words like knee or elbow, don't know the names of their body parts. And if that is happening, there is very little conversation going on. And that was shocking to me.
How does that happen? How does a kid get to that age and not know words that basic?
Well, I think it's because kids are parked in front of the television. You know, kids are watching, on average, it looks like kids 2 to 4 years old are watching 3 to 4 hours of television a day, and that doesn't include other kinds of screen time. You know, it doesn't include video.
But I would think that enough TV would eventually teach you words like knee and elbow. Is there some benefit in terms of vocabulary to watching television?
It looks like television has very few benefits in terms of reading success. Kids can learn some slang from television. Sometimes they can learn a song from television. But in terms of really developing a rich vocabulary, television is not the way to do it. And, you know, I think it's better if parents are able to watch with their infants and toddlers and engage in conversation while they're watching TV. I mean, that can help build language as well.
The read to your kids message, I think, is pretty well circulated. But you're saying that talking to your kids is as important as reading to your kids?
Talking to your kids is absolutely as important as reading to your kids. It's a couple of different kinds of talk. It's, you know, some parents think that they need to read to their kids for 20 minutes a day. And that's true. But they end up soldiering through the reading. They feel like they have to get through the reading. And reading should be a springboard for conversation. You know, it should be a time to wonder out loud with your kids, to engage in conversation about lots of things in the world that come up in the course of reading. And it's also in just lots of conversation during the day. It's when you're cooking a meal or when you're taking out the garbage or when you're giving an infant a bath.
If a person is giving their child a bath, what's the ideal conversation, is it?
Well, you know, one thing you might want to do is on the way to the bath. I mean, if you have a 3- and 4-year-old, you might say, let's pretend to be an animal on the way to the bath. You know, let's pretend to be an elephant or a bear, whatever animal you want to be. And then you can talk about that animal and what that animal does or make animal noises. Or in the bath, you can sing a song with your infant and you can talk about the words in the song or you can tell a story. There are lots of opportunities for those kinds of conversations.
In lower-income households in particular, because much of the research shows that reading proficiency is even lower among kids who grew up in low-income households, what is it that is not happening in those households or that is happening in those households that makes these kids so far behind in reading proficiency?
Part of this is working 2 or 3 jobs. Part of it is the stresses that low-income parents are under. Part of it is that when you're under stress, you tend to be abbreviated in your conversation, and you tend to use directives rather than to ask questions or really to engage in dialogue. So the quality of the conversation is abbreviated and different. There is a problem of depression in low-income communities, too. About 40% of parents, it looks like, in low-income communities are suffering from some kind of low-level depression, a really steady drizzle of helplessness and hopelessness.
This legislation would also try to make teachers better at teaching kids reading. But for kids who come in below the bar, who come in really behind the curve, how much can a teacher do at that point?
A teacher can do quite a lot. I mean, it's not that kids are doomed if they enter kindergarten and they have low vocabularies. There's a lot you can do with kids in the early grades of elementary school, high-quality elementary schools where kids get 3 really strong teachers in a row, for example, in elementary school. You see big gains in the number of kids who are reading proficiently. And, you know, I think we have to recruit really strong reading teachers. We have to retain strong reading teachers.
Rick Weisbord, thanks for talking about this.
Thank you.
Rick Weisbord is a lecturer at the Harvard Graduate School of Education and the Kennedy School of Government. He's also a founder of Read Boston and Write Boston.